Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay.
LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe.
A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you.
What's not loving is to look someone in the eye when God says they are in jeopardy of an eternity in hell and merely wink and nod at their sin because you're afraid of being called names.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Intrepid reporting, you've come to the right place. This is Wretched Radio. Have you wondered, like we have, what exactly is going on university campuses around the country that are supposedly experiencing revival? Perhaps you've seen the reports, the YouTube videos. People on campuses around the country are getting baptized. And we, like any born-again believer, should hope that people are actually getting saved. We want God's kingdom to expand. And yet, as we've done some sleuthing, we haven't been able to find a whole lot of content of what is going on in these campus events where there's typically a band. There's typically football players giving their testimony. There's some speaking. There's a lot more worship music. And then there's baptisms. And we would like to know what exactly is being proclaimed there. Are the kids genuinely getting saved, or is there a whole lot of manipulation going on? We want to be hopeful, but based on our sleuthing, we haven't been able to find a thing out there about what's being preached. So what did we do? We sent our very own intrepid reporter. Dalton, are you intrepid? You look more dazed than intrepid. But the point is, you went to Kentucky.
I did go to Kentucky.
Now, you didn't go just for this, but you were in Kentucky and you said, hey, I'll go to a campus and I will visit what's happening at one of these events. Correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Precisely what you did. Dalton, you have been with us now for 15 years?
15 and a half, or 4 months, you can decide.
Whichever one it is, he's been here for a bit. And you went to the University of Kentucky, and how long did you stay at the event that was called, what was the event called?
The Unite Us Movement. Unite Us, Unite US, I can never figure out which one it is. The Unite Us Movement.
Well, the S isn't capitalized, so it's us.
Yeah, it is us.
Should it be Unite We? That would have cleared up all the confusion.
Could have been Unite Them.
Unite the World.
Ooh, that's even better.
And it was at the University of Kentucky. How many kids attended this clam bake?
The estimate's 7,000 to 8,000. I mean, it's a stadium.
Did you think it was 7,000 to 8,000?
I think so. It's a stadium that seats 23,000. And it was the entire lower arena was full. So it had to have been there.
So this is a big deal.
It is big.
The videos that I've seen, it's been a stage outside someplace with a few hundred people gathered around.
Well, it's crazy. This is, I think, their 12th or 13th event that they've done. And it started with 1,000 students, 2,000 students.
And it just keeps growing.
It just keeps growing.
All right. Was the gospel clearly and concisely proclaimed at this event?
Short answer, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The long answer is?
The long answer is it was weird. It was a weird
what
event.
Is that?
You laugh.
Of all the words, that's what you brought back from Kentucky.
That was the word.
All right. What was weird about it?
So I walked into it knowing a little bit about it. I think you had sent me an email several months ago saying, have you seen anything from this event?
Yeah, could you find something?
And there was no video, no audio, nothing. There were some Instagram videos that dramatic music's playing behind it. I have no idea what's going on at these things.
Right.
You can't figure out what they're saying. So we went to it and it started off. Tanya Pruitt, I think, is the founder or the visionary of this. She's the wife of the Auburn men's basketball coach. So this started on Auburn's campus.
Okay.
They had 6 or 8 college girls that were walking around campus praying for revival. Now, this is where it starts to get weird because she tells this story at the event. She's the one that first started speaking after Elevation Worship.
She was the first. Wait, hold on.
Yes.
What? The worship was presented by
Elevation. Well, it's Elevation Rhythm, which I guess is their B team because I've never heard of them before.
Maybe it's a knockoff. Maybe it's not even from Stephen Furtick's church.
Oh, it is. It is. Don't you worry. We found that out really quickly.
Okay. So the worship, how long did the worship go on?
The first song, I think, was 10 minutes and there was a lot of jumping and lights. At this point, I leaned over because I tricked my wife into going with me. And I told her, I think I'm getting old because this music is way too loud and the lights are way too bright.
Definitely a sign. But you're practically, you're almost dead.
I would say the music probably lasted the first 30 minutes. It was long.
Oh, that 30 minutes. That ain't bad, honestly, because that happens at every one of these major revivals of Benny Hinn show. They'll go on for like 2 hours.
Well, there was worship. More music at the end as well.
Sure.
So they broke it up well, but it started 30 minutes of, and it was all elevation music.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. So the first preacher was Tanya.
Person speaking, first person preaching, sure, was Tanya Pruitt.
All right.
So she got up there and she basically told the backstory. Now, like every good person trying to get an emotional message out, the piano was playing behind it the entire time.
Okay. All right. So we've got that manipulative that's element right. that's going on. All right. Did she share the gospel?
Negative. Did she
preach a Bible verse?
She started out with Esther 4, talking about for such a time as this.
Yeah, yes. Sure.
Everyone gets to name it and claim it.
Yeah.
So that's where she started out and said, this movement exists for such a time as this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, backing up to the Auburn event, she apparently, and her husband has confirmed this on a podcast, had a vision from God.
Okay.
That he wanted her to unite Auburn. These are her words. You can go find it on YouTube. Unite Auburn, unite college campuses, unite the nation. This all leads to Israel. That's her big slogan. And this is how it all started out. This was a vision from God for what she was supposed to do.
Interesting. And it all roads lead to Israel.
That's what she said. And it ties back in multiple times. She didn't mention it as much when she was speaking at the event. You can find a lot more of this in her other speaking engagements,
mm-hmm.
but it's always leading to Israel. And that was actually a part of the story later on.
All right. So really?
Yes. Yes, it gets even wackier and wilder. So as she's getting up and speaking, telling the backstory behind all of this, she starts telling all of these different stories from her life, what she's experienced, having a father that was a drunk and ended up abandoning them. So they had to go out and pick pecans and peaches. And again, the emotional music is playing behind there. Everyone saw kind of how this was going to end, except for the middle school girl sitting behind me. But it was just one of those. And then God did this. And then God told me this. And then God told me this over and over again. But she always said it in a way where God spoke to me or God gave me a vision.
Cool.
Always so, the vision.
See, you should write this stuff down. We could just staple it at the end of Revelation and we've got a bigger Bible.
That's right. More visions, more revelation.
Right. All right. So she does her speech and she's preaching sort of. From Esther 4.
Oh, it wasn't preaching. It was she read the verse at the very beginning, and that was the last time she touched
but
the
that's,
Bible.
That's standard topical preaching.
Right.
Okay. Just give me a verse and off I go. All right. Next speaker.
Next speaker is Jenny Allen. Now, I've heard of her. I haven't found a ton on her. She kind of reminds me as a more abrasive Beth Moore. That's the best way that I know to describe
it. Wow.
Yes. So traveling all around, speaking a lot to different churches, preaching, or so she says. But she comes out. And her entire message begins with milk crates all around her that have the word weight and sin written on them.
Weight?
Weight and sin.
W-A-I-T or W-E-I-G-H-T?
W-E.
I-G-H-T.
Yeah, I'm not a speller. I'm from Kentucky.
Okay. Wait. So weight as in how heavy is it and sin?
Weight and sin.
All righty.
So the milk crates are surrounding her. And her opening line is, we are here because we have seen the pain and the suffering and the difficulties that this generation has faced. And in her words, we are tired of this nonsense. We're tired of it. We're tired of the guilt and shame. And so we're here to free you from guilt and shame. And so she goes on to this spiel about how it's important to confess our sin. So at that point, I was going, maybe this could go somewhere good. And then it went off the rails. Immediately went off the rails when she said, I want you all to close your eyes and imagine Jesus is sitting in front of you.
Okay.
He's on a bench and he's sitting knee to knee with you. I want you to confess your sin to him. And so you have students that are sitting there quietly. And then she said, now shout it out. Now, what's funny is she came on a podcast immediately after this and said that the shouts were so loud, the stadium shook. I text my wife that and said, do you remember the stadium shaking? And she said, no, it was actually kind of quiet.
Okay. They were shouting out their sins?
Shouting out whatever sins they felt like they needed to shout out in this moment. Had them group up afterwards and say, now go confess your sins to one another. And this is this is where you'll get a good kick out of it. She then said, now come back to your scene with Jesus where you see him sitting in front of you. What does he look like now that you've confessed your sins? Tell me what his face is.
Happy Jesus.
Oh, you got everything under the sun. Happy, excited. Someone said he looks like my mom, which was way off the walls.
Well, you haven't seen that person's mother.
Well, okay, fair. I have not seen that person's mother, though I'm not sure I want to in this particular moment.
All right. So that was Jenny Allen's effort to get... So what was the end goal with that? It's so that if you do this, then your weight and sin is gone.
And you're free. That was it. That was the line.
All right. All right. Now, have we heard about Jesus Christ being crucified?
No.
Rising from the dead?
No.
I see. When did they have the big bonfire and throw sticks into it?
They were thinking about it later on.
Okay. Don't give them any ideas. All right. We are going to continue. Now, this isn't what I was hoping for. I was really genuinely hoping good because I've heard of the next fellow that we're going to hear about, Jonathan Pacluda.
Yes.
And I'm, all right, don't tell me. I've asked you not to give me any details until we talk about it now. You're going to share his presentation. And I'm crossing my fingers and wishing on a star that the gospel was proclaimed at the University Revival at the University of Kentucky. Something about the United States of America being united to Canada or something like that. Next on Wretched Radio.
25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, we're grateful. What started as Wretched Radio has grown into something remarkable. Today, as part of Fortis Institute, we're reaching more believers than ever before. Our daily podcasts and radio shows, video content, and biblical resources continue to strengthen local churches and equip the saints just as we've done for 25 years. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. You've helped us reach millions with the unchanging truth of God's Word. As we celebrate this milestone, we're reminded that our mission remains the same, serving the King of Kings by strengthening His church. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King. The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Life doesn't come with calm storms. Sooner or later, the storm hits, and the world says the answer is boundaries. Build fences, keep people out, protect yourself, but the Bible never tells you to construct walls. Instead, it teaches you to anchor yourself to truth, to wisdom, to the unshakable foundation of God's Word. That's where The Better Way with Libby Glossin comes in. Intelligent talk radio for women. Like no other podcast out there. Always thoughtful and no self-help gimmicks, no fluffy cliches. Just practical biblical wisdom that cuts through the noise and makes a real impact in your life. If you're tired of the feel-good messages that don't hold up when the storm comes, it's time for something different. It's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin. Real truth, real wisdom like no other. Because in a world full of compromise, there is indeed a better way.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless He reveals Himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed Himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. we can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with Him.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Your source for investigative journalism. This is Wretched Radio. Since when, Friel? Well, since right now. We sent our very own intrepid Dalton Teal to Kentucky because that's your hometown.
That is correct.
It's actually a home state. But the point is, see, it's not hard to trick somebody from Kentucky. It's How many times have you been to the Ark? Huh?
I have been to the Ark none. None, actually.
What?
Yes.
Are you saved?
Now, I've been to the Creation Museum.
Okay, you're maybe half saved. You've done an altar call, but not sure that you're actually regenerated. Dalton Teal is the voice that you're hearing besides mine and Jimmy's, who was sent on a trip to Kentucky to visit the University of Kentucky because there was a revival scheduled because the Holy Spirit is very busy.
That's right.
You've got to get on His calendar. So there's this revival movement that is happening around the country, and we could not find anything about it online. So you were in Kentucky, and you decided to go to this event that had a large attendance of, you estimate, 7,000 people that came to this event where supposedly people are getting saved. And we truly want it to be genuine. We want these people who are having some sort of religious experience on campuses around the country to be genuine conversions. You sat through the, did you sit through the entire thing?
The entire thing, 7:30 to about midnight.
Bless your heart. Man, that's like, you need casualty pay or something for that.
I need another nap.
Because it was long. And out of the give or take 4 hours, 5 hours, how much of it was music?
Probably an hour. I would say about an hour of music.
So most of it, though, was talking.
There was a lot of talking. And then, well, part of it built into that is actually baptisms, which we can get to towards the end of it. But they did baptisms outside for quite some time.
All right. So we're hoping that those people actually got saved. But what is key for any sort of revival is not worship. It's not wait and sin milk carton containers or whatever it was that the last speaker did. It's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, opening up the word and proclaiming the word of God so that people can understand their sin, God's character and nature, what they deserve, what Jesus did for them, and how they must respond. We're hoping, because we have not heard it yet from the aforementioned speakers, that when Jonathan Pacluda is going to bring the gospel. Was he the keynoter? Was he the big closer?
He was the big closer.
Did he preach the gospel?
Yes, he did.
All right.
Yes, he did.
All right. That's a good thing.
It is a very good thing because at a certain point, after Jenny Allen had declared that all of their sins had been forgiven and they were right with God, why she can declare that, I'm not sure. But after she declared that and after Tanya Pruitt, I leaned over and said, I'm not sure that this can get any better. I mean, this is about as bad as I thought it could get.
Because there was nothing about Jesus and sins and blood being shed. Repentance?
No repentance.
Okie dokie then. Trusting in Jesus Christ?
There was mention of you need to trust in Jesus, but
all right.
What about Him?
Right.
What are you trusting about Him?
Sure. Okay, so it was kind of sprinkled throughout. So Jonathan Pacluda gets up to close the show. Was he solid?
I'm going to go with yes. So
all right.
I
was hoping that because I don't know Jonathan, but I've seen some of his videos before. And what I've seen, while it isn't my particular stripe of preaching, what I saw was sound.
Yes. And that's one of the things that I found coming out of this. Jimmy and I actually had a conversation about it. He runs around in some interesting crowds. So he was down at Passion a couple weeks ago.
Sure.
For that event. He's running around in this crowd as well. And after hearing his sermon, I thought, why is he with these people?
Oh, he was that different.
It was that
good.
Different. Now I think he could be on the Preachers and Sneakers page. He had some really cool clothes and some really cool shoes.
Sure.
But it's a college event. I wasn't necessarily surprised by that. And when he walked out, he started telling a story about being half in on Christianity.
Okay.
Having one foot in the world, one foot in Christianity. And I thought, you know, I could see where this is going. But about a third of the way through, he gets to Luke chapter 18 with the story of the rich young ruler, and he just begins to exposit it.
Nice.
A full exposition of Luke 18 going to, are you holding on to your sin? Are you holding on to the things of the world that you love and you refuse to let go to? And I paused about right there and thought, this could go one of two directions. This could be the worldly, hey, you should just trust Jesus. You should let go of everything and then some sort of emotional response, or he could just dig down into the gospel. He chose to dig down into the gospel.
Nice.
And he made the comment, if you've never heard the gospel, this is what it is.
Good.
And proceeds to lay out for, I would say, about 10 to 15 minutes, the depths of the gospel.
Well, that's awesome, dude.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful because he began with, this is who God is. This is how he is so much bigger than you could ever imagine or comprehend. He is perfect and glorious and powerful, and we are sinners. And he goes through and explains what sin is, goes to Romans 3, Romans 6, talks about what the wages of sin is, how we cannot do enough good works. He said, if you're planning on going to God and saying, look at all the good that I have done, you will pay for your sins and you will pay for it in eternity in hell. I mean, he came out swinging.
Good. Well, see, swinging, it's like, that's our bread and butter.
It is.
We shouldn't miss that one. Great. And then did he do some sort of Jesus died for your sins?
He did.
Atonement?
He did.
Justification?
He did.
Adoption?
He did.
No way.
You have been brought into the family of God.
That's excellent to hear.
It was wonderful.
All right. So now he's kind of done a little damage control on some of the other shenanigans that were going on there.
A lot of damage control.
All right. Excellent. So how long did he preach?
I would say 30, 35 minutes.
All right. He finishes. What was the next step?
Well, the very end of it, he actually gets to an altar call, which I wasn't surprised by that. And you probably had 1,500 students trying to walk down to the stage.
Ryan.
And give their life to Christ, or at least that was the messaging. If you want to receive Christ today, please come forward. And he led them in the sinner's prayer. So not my style. I don't love that part.
That's right. People have been saved.
Yes.
But I don't think because of, it's almost despite those tactics that are relatively recent inventions. But nevertheless, 1,500 people heard the gospel, apparently responded. Do you think that it was so clear that they would, if they were listening, actually paying attention, they heard the gospel and their response could be genuine?
I would imagine many were genuine. No, not 1,500 students, more than likely.
Ryan.
But there were several in that group that, I mean, the word of God is living and active. The gospel has the power to save us. And I believe it was clearly proclaimed. And we can rejoice in that.
Yeah, I want to.
Yes.
But it's the other packaging that...
That's where I struggled. Because it was visions and stories about feeling good about ourselves. And then it just shifts to the gospel. Now, towards the very end of it, this is one of the things that I was genuinely impressed with. Because like you, I walked into it wanting the best, hoping the best, hoping that the gospel would be proclaimed and the local church would be emphasized. So when we walked in, mind you, this was a free event. They didn't charge anything except for the $27 for parking. That was absurd.
Wow.
Yeah, but the tickets were free. And you walked in the door, people were welcoming you, and they had booths set up from local churches in the area. Pastors, church members were engaging with college students as they walked in.
That's a good thing. Now, tell me about those churches.
I didn't get much on the local churches because as soon as we arrived, for some reason, they started packing up and moving somewhere else. So I couldn't track them down. But essentially, they came into town a couple of days before and started engaging with all the local churches they could get in contact with.
Sure.
And said, we're hosting this event. We want these students to get plugged in with you.
That's also good.
So Pakluta, at the very end of it, to his credit, said, we are not about just showing up and then leaving after we preach the gospel. We want you to be discipled. We want you to be plugged into the local church. So here's what's going to happen. And they popped up a QR code on the screen. They had them scan it. And it said, would you like to be reached out to? Would you like more information on a local church in the area, a college ministry? Please let us know. And we will have pastors
that engage you. That's a big tell. Because if you take a look at the statistics from other of these big events that have taken place historically, the follow-up rate has been staggeringly disappointing. The number of people who make some sort of profession or walk the aisle, who then can be found in a local church after the crusade, it's 3%.
Mm-hmm.
So getting them plugged in, crucial. Let's hope that a lot of them did. All right, quickly, Dalton, baptisms. How many people were baptized?
The estimates were 1,000 to 1,500. I mean, they were saying a lot of people climbed into the baptismals. Now, you couldn't see much, and we ended up pulling back after a little while trying to figure out where it was because it wasn't in the same event space.
Mm.
You had to navigate your way over to it. But they said there's pastors from different churches and people that were in four different baptismal pools baptizing people, and a great number were baptized that day, according to their statistics.
All right. We hope so.
We do.
And we hope that they were genuinely saved. And we would also hope that maybe Jonathan Pakluta would have a little more influence over the event.
Yes.
Because there was a fair amount of glop that was inserted.
And I will say, I think one of the reasons why they're not posting anything from this is it's the same thing over and over again. They had mentioned, one of the speakers had mentioned, I don't know if they was intentional or not, but our set, the way that we do this is X, Y, Z. So it seems like it's
they got it down.
Cut and paste. They've got it down.
You know what? Even if it is cut and paste, if the word of God was actually being proclaimed, the gospel was heard, let's really pray and hope that kids are actually getting saved at these air quote revivals on university campuses. Dalton Teal, well done.
Thank you, sir.
We'll get your hazard pay.
Good. Thank
settled
you.
Up immediately. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. More Department of Justice prosecutors are choosing politics over duty these days, with a criminal division chief resigning rather than investigate clear evidence of misuse in a $20 billion Biden climate slush fund. The prosecutor claims that there is insufficient evidence to even look into how billions in taxpayer dollars were spent. This follows seven other DOJ prosecutors who quit rather than pursue obvious corruption charges against Democrat Eric Adams, showing just how partisan our justice system has really become. And in Colorado, Democrats are racing to strip citizens of their constitutional rights, passing a Senate bill which would ban common firearms with detachable magazines over 15 rounds. While they've exempted 22 caliber guns and hunting rifles to appear reasonable, make no mistake, this is about control, not safety. The bill's champion, Senator Tom Sullivan, wants you to believe that magazine capacity, not evil intent, causes violence. And to Oregon now, where the culture of death marches forward. Lawmakers are wanting to let nurses and physician assistants prescribe suicide drugs. Not content with only doctors doing the deed, they're expanding their pool of willing participants, because apparently killing yourself shouldn't require all that pesky medical training. And speaking of standing against the culture of death, a 74-year-old Scottish grandmother was arrested this week for silently praying outside of an abortion facility, holding a sign offering help to women. When peaceful prayer is a crime to be pursued, society has certainly lost its way. In a victory for scientific integrity, Idaho lawmakers are proposing a 10-year pause on mRNA vaccines, named for rancher Doug Cameron, who was left paralyzed after taking the shot. The bill recognizes what the mainstream media will not, that we're all unwilling participants in history's largest medical experiment. Meanwhile, the USDA is rushing to approve bird flu vaccines for poultry, despite warnings from top cardiologists that such leaky vaccines could spawn deadlier variants. Seems like we've learned nothing about rushing experimental treatments to the market. And speaking of poultry, KFC is flying the coop from the Bluegrass State, moving its headquarters to Texas after 94 years. While they're trying to soften the blow with university endowments and a new flagship restaurant, it's another reminder that even iconic American brands are going to chase greener pastures, or in this case, lower taxes and fewer regulations. And up north, Canadian taxpayers learned their government spent $30,000 promoting transgender ideology in Pakistan. Because apparently Justin Trudeau thinks one of the world's most religiously conservative regions needs Western progressive lectures on gender identity. And these are the same bureaucrats who can't figure out how to make their grant end dates come out after the start dates. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting Scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is the analogy of Scripture. If God is consistent and the Bible is God's Word, then the Bible is consistent. We can then use Scripture to interpret Scripture, understanding less clear verses in light of clear verses. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
That boy's a natural, I'm telling you. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, Dalton just crushed it.
He did.
He came back ready to roar. The University of Kentucky hosting another one of the revivals that we've been hearing about around the country. There's a couple of groups that appear to be doing this. And our hope, because we couldn't find anything online, was that these organizations were actually presenting the gospel.
It turns out at this particular event at the University of Kentucky, attended by 7,000 people, the gospel was loud and clear. Amen. Unfortunately, it was packaged with a fair amount of glop. Even so, we hope that the kids who are getting saved, presumably, and baptized are indeed born again. I'm glad the gospel was thoroughly explained, because that has been an error of the evangelical community, in my estimation. Now, for decades, we assume too much. We use a word here. 7 minutes later, you use a word there. And then 13 minutes later, you talk about this and say, well, the gospel was there. It needs to be coherent. And it needs to be delivered with a call, not to an altar, but to respond to the message that Jesus Christ claims to be the only way to God, and to push people on that and not just let it float. And certainly not to assume this. Here's an example of that. I'll leave the news source out. Kelsey Grammer. He's Frasier, right? Kelsey Grammer. I must have missed an awful lot in the 90s, those sitcoms. I think we were kind of busy raising children. Kelsey Grammer shares Jesus with old Cheers bar buddies in incredible interview. All right, I hear shares Jesus. That means you talked about God's character and nature, your failure to keep his laws, the just consequences for your law breaking, what Jesus did to redeem us sinners, and how we must repent and put our trust in the resurrected Savior. That to me is sharing Jesus. Well, I didn't listen to the podcast, I confess, but according to this article, he said that after Ted Danson brought up religion, Kelsey Grammer began by saying he was raised believing in Christian Science from Mary Baker Eddy in the 1800s. Quote, I had this wild moment on a plane. Jesus is sitting down right next to me and talking to me. Wonder if that was coach or first class. Sorry, that detail aside. And it was undeniably true and real and reassuring and uplifting. And I got to surrender and tears were just dropping down my face. It was an extraordinary moment. And it just was that thing that happens, you know? And suddenly it was revealed to me and there I was. And I guess I was saved. All right, leaving the exploration of those comments aside, that's not sharing Jesus. He talked about what he believes to be some sort of religious experience, but that's not sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel must contain all of those elements. And as long as we're talking about 90s sitcom stars, Tim Allen, he's been reading his Bible. He's been reading his Bible and he said this. After nearly a year, I finished the entire Old Testament. And the experience of rereading dedicated focus and no drifting has made this a humbling, overwhelming experience. That's ridiculous. As if somebody could learn enough to be saved from just the Old Testament. You know, like the first century saints who had everything that they... How did Timothy get saved? From the scriptures. What scriptures? That would be the not unhitched Old Testament. What a treasure, said Mr. Home Improvement. Now he's 3 days into the New Testament. Well, that's cool. Let's hope that he gets saved from that if he isn't already. Let's hope that he does. Let's hope that Kelsey Grammer is, but let us do better at presenting the gospel coherently and calling people to salvation. What you going to do with this? What are you going to do? You can't walk away from this and just pretend it never happened. Now you know cosmic truth. What's your response? Jimmy, I think Dalton did a bang-up job.
I do too.
He's going to want a podcast. I can just tell him he's going to want a podcast. Let's talk about the kids on the campuses, shall we? It appears that this generation, while every generation that comes up behind the preceding generation, never matches the standard of their generation, you know, because when I was a kid, nevertheless, we have seen the Gen Zers, they are more different than most generations. I think social media is absolutely the tip of the spear that is leading that charge, that is causing kids to think differently, to respond to parents differently, to process reality differently, to work differently with a different work ethic. It is a different generation. And we, would like to see these kids saved, not mocked, as has been happening too often with Gen Zers. According to George Barna, most American teens are very motivated to know about Jesus. Okay, I'll take them at their word. And I got to tell you, we've been observing this now for a number of years. Young people, whether they're teenagers, early 20s, they are indeed anxious to talk. They're looking for an anchor. They want a port in the storm. 52% of American teenagers say they're very motivated to know more about Jesus. That's an opportunity for the church. Don't blow it, church. Don't do dumb. Don't do silly. Don't think that gross out games is the way to the heart of a teenager. They're not dumb. This is why we made Road Trip to Truth, and we did not aim low. We respected them and we used big words because they can get it. All you need to do is present it in a way that's compelling. Yeah, you got competition because of short attention spans, but if you're interesting, they'll watch it. It's fascinating to me. Do you know what videos work best on YouTube? You would think, oh, the shorter the better. That's kind of my thinking. It's not true. The longer the better. So kids are able to focus on something that's more than 30 seconds. Like, hey, we're just going to do this real quick, kids. Just hang in there. I got to tell you this story about Jonah real quick, because this dude was like, no, they can handle it. If we deliver it in a way that is respectful, because let me tell you something, they can smell condescension in a heartbeat. Just over 75% say they're somewhat motivated to learn about Jesus. Less than 20% of teenagers said they were unmotivated to learn about Jesus. That, I think, is encouraging news. Now, how we engage those kids in churches, perhaps this from Christian Post, this was apparently a study on small groups and Gen Z. Apparently, the Gen Zers don't like it. They don't like the small group concept. And you're going to hear some of the markers that I think are the identifying traits of Gen Zers in this. This approach to discipleship, meaning small groups, isn't a good fit for younger generations who are more likely to be wrestling with social insecurities and anxieties and turn most to their mothers for spiritual direction. Oh, Father, dear Dad, where are you? The kids don't like the small groups. They're asking mom questions. They also ask the internet questions. That's usually a coin toss. It could go well or it could go poorly. But these kids, they don't like the small groups because they don't like the intimacy of it and the potential transparency and that they might be marked a loser or a failure, or they might be shunned. Do you remember when we read the statistic of the number of Gen Zers who don't like to go out to eat because they're afraid if they order, they could goof it up and get food that they don't like or embarrass themselves with the wait person. So they have somebody else order for them. This is reality. And so if we're going to invite these young people into church, I think recognizing their insecurities to make them feel welcome and safe is just wisdom. Compared to older generations, younger generations are more likely to say they aren't in a small group because they don't think they would fit in, are intimidated, fear getting hurt, and worry people wouldn't like them. They're scared. And that's true for men and women, though men especially feel they wouldn't fit in, even if people or that people wouldn't get along with them. Young women say, I don't know anyone who goes to a small group and I don't want to go alone. So they're not. What could we do? Well, I guess we could come up with a new church model and change the small groups, call them something cool and hip and groovy, or we can just welcome them lovingly, encouragingly, and maybe get to know them and then bring them into a small group if that's the way that your church operates, because they want to know about Jesus. They're just have some social phobias that maybe keep them from doing that. And by the way, speaking of Dalton and what happened at the University of Kentucky and reaching young people, if you're on a campus anywhere in the country and you maybe would like us, Fortis Institute, to come to your campus and do an event where we won't have milk cartons and weight and sin and other silly things at some sort of a revival, but instead to really proclaim truth to kids, to students, send Dalton an email. Dalton, as in Dalton, at fortisinstitute.org. Dalton at fortisinstitute.org. You have to have a campus ministry and be willing to invite us in, and we will take it from there, and we will do the rest, because we would love to see more Gen Zers saved. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Krotz helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
What if you could strengthen your marriage in just minutes a day? Well, we're making that possible and easier than ever before, because now through the end of the month, we're giving away our resource Drive By Marriage completely free at fortisplus.org. And also don't forget to pick up the study guide absolutely free as well. Drive By Marriage gives you 31 powerful bite-sized lessons that fit into your busy schedule. And with the study guide, you're going to get deeper insights and practical exercises to apply what you're learning. This complete marriage building package has helped couples grow closer to each other and closer to God. You're going to discover keys to better communication, biblical solutions for resolving conflict, and ways to build lasting trust and intimacy. Don't miss this opportunity. Visit fortisplus.org now to get your free digital copy of Drive By Marriage and the study guide. Remember, the special offer ends at the end of the month. Head to fortisplus.org right now. It's Drive By Marriage, because a few minutes a day can transform your marriage forever. FortisPlus.org.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like perspicuity, the clarity of Scripture. God uses the text of Scripture to clearly communicate His character and will. God has not hidden His will for only the enlightened few to find. His truth can be clearly understood by anyone who reads His Word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Rude. I was very, very rude. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, I didn't ask you, what was your take on Dalton's review of the University of Kentucky revival?
Yeah, I think it was promising for sure. For sure. I do have questions.
Like?
I think the biggest one, the biggest question I have, where he talked about the churches, yeah, that were there set up, and how the speakers or the organizers of the event got there a couple of days before and met with local churches and invited, yeah, them in. Look, that's all great. You want people plugged into the local church after you leave.
Yep.
But which ones?
Are they vetted?
Right.
What are they doing there? Yeah, we'll hope for the best, but that's true without knowing what those churches are. How ecumenical was that outreach? What are they doing at those churches? Did they have to have a standard or a statement of faith that they needed to pass? I think you're exactly right. That's why the events that we're hoping to do that I'm really not supposed to be telling you about on campuses, we want to involve local churches. In fact, we won't do it without a local church. We want to go to different campuses around the country and do indoor events. And these aren't going to be the, we fed that guy his breakfast or whatever it is. We stifled him. We showed that punk that we know our stuff better than he does. No, not to do that, because I actually believe these statistics. And I know from experience, the students, they're wanting to sort it. They really are. They're thinking about it, I think, actually more than I would say even 10, 15 years ago, when kids basically, they were just consuming Sam Harris, Christopher Hitchens, and just drinking that Kool-Aid. Well, now they're not. They seem to be willing to think things through, ponder things, and they are so, you know those things, like in front of a car dealership, those balloon things where they got the fan underneath and it just kind of flops and wiggles all over the place. That's what they feel like. And they are looking for somebody to come alongside them, show them that they care, be safe, so that they can get anchored. They want that. So we want to go to campuses and do that. In fact, we're hoping, this is not a done deal, but I'm so excited about this. We're hoping actually to go to Kennesaw State, which is the largest university in Georgia. Probably wouldn't have guessed that, but Kennesaw State is. At least that's the last stat that I heard. And we want to do it with Dr. Greg Gifford. And we're going to talk to students about mental health and psychotropics. It's going to be based on his new book, which is coming out very, very soon. I'll let you know. Lies My Therapist Told Me. And we're going to, of course, preach the gospel. One of the chapters in the book, which is so exciting to consider how widely disseminated this book might be. And it is clear that the gospel is crucial when it comes to, air quotes, mental health. Regeneration has to take place. It is the crucial component of being emotionally in balance. And that's inside of the book. And we want to do something with Greg at Kennesaw State, hoping that's going to happen. Or we'd come to your campus. If you have a campus ministry and you can invite us in, you get the room. And then we'll fly in. And we'll provide the posters and what have you for you to put up. Let's see if we can invite students to come and consider Christianity. Or we could bring in, for instance, Jason Lyle. And we could do a creation evolution event. Or we could bring in any of our fellows, and we will be all about the business of preaching the gospel to bring clarity to their lives and then plug them into local churches. It's the crucial component. And that's why I would say if we get an invite from a campus ministry to come to the campus, but there's not a good local church nearby, probably wouldn't do it. That's how important the local church is. I'm almost tempted to start writing down all of the times that I think to myself, oh, if this person were only plugged into a local church, oh, what a difference that would, oh, how that would help them in this instance. Oh, what it would do for their relationships. The importance of the local church. So at any rate, if you happen to be a campus ministry somewhere in the English-speaking world, send Dalton a text. Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, at fortisinstitute.org, because the kids are lonely to boot. This is an article from wired.com. At first, I was a little incredulous, but it's like, well, maybe statistically, they're onto something here. The loneliness epidemic, this headline says, is a security crisis. Now, I don't know if you want to label it that, but I read some statistics about romance fraud that kids are getting duped into these. Well, it's not just kids. It's all kinds of wide range of individuals who are lonely. They're finding these online affairs. Now, I'm not talking about the chatbots and the AI business. That's another thing unto itself. In fact, this article, oh, this is from Wired too. A Megan, Farak Manesh. Sorry, It's titled, I Dated Multiple AI Partners at Once. It got real weird. She talks about how horrible it is these days to be dating, that it's really hard. And the apps, she says, are broken. Whether it's Hinge, Tinder, Bumble, or something else, everyone on them has become an algorithmic fodder in a game that often feels pay to play. I've heard that so much. Colloquial wisdom suggests you're better off trying to meet someone in person. But ever since the arrival of COVID, people just don't mingle like they used to. Is that true? It's not surprising then that some romance seekers are skipping human companions and turning to AI. So she tried several of them. And as she stated, they got weird. This isn't a Christian article, by the way, but nevertheless, insightful. The first one, which was ChatGPT, Jamie, constantly asked me and validated my feelings. Yep, that's how it works with cults too. He was the ultimate yes man, forever finding a way to turn even my worst actions into something positive. You're human. It just means you're flawed, but capable of growth. Oh, doesn't that feed every generation's pride-filled, yes, it's about me attitude, and watering down any sins or crimes you've committed and making you the star of the show. Pros, she writes in this review. An AI playing at therapist, boyfriend, recipe book, tarot reader, and more rolled into one. It's attractive. It's tirelessly supportive, constantly affirming, always asking questions. That plays right into the loneliness of it. If somebody's interested in me, somebody cares about me. Here's the stats from the other Wired article. Romance fraud is a big business. People in the U.S. have reported losses of nearly, get ready for this, $4.5 billion to romance and confidence fraud over the past decade. This is from FBI data. Romance and confidence scams led to about $600 million for each of the past 5 years, except for 2021, COVID peak, $1 billion a year. They lure these people. They're lonely. They reach out to somebody on the internet, however that works, and they ask them questions and they care about them. They gain their confidence. And the article went on to mention how their modus operandi, they'll just kind of drop a hint about needing money. And then, no, don't send it to me. No, I couldn't possibly. And then you do, and then you get taken. And then there's the sex scamming where they have you send a picture of yourself and then they blackmail you. Lovely. What does this tell us in the church? We're not going to turn the gospel into the loneliness fixer, but there is no greater institution in helping people with loneliness. Being in a local church. I got to tell you, last night, we had a deacon and elders dinner. We just got together. I can't even describe how delightful it was. Just everybody for the same cause, Jesus Christ. Everybody sacrificing, giving, doing in order to help people understand how amazing our God is. And the laughter and the sweetness. We finished dinner. Few people had desserts, but otherwise, just then we sat there and we got up, put our coats on, and then we stood there for another hour. There's no better place to fix the loneliness epidemic than inside of church. And that goes for young people too, who, by the way, another statistic here, it shouldn't surprise us. We've heard this before from the Institute of Family Studies. 22 to 34-year-olds, unprecedented rise in celibacy. They're not pursuing marriage. And so their intimacy with another person is going down. Now, on the one hand, that's good because the hookup culture is diminishing. It's not going away by any means, but it's going down. Porn is replacing it because they're afraid to get married. And married people experience the joys of that act more than single people do. In other words, we got a generation that's hurting and lonely. And we have an institution built by Jesus Christ himself that is excellent at helping people not be lonely. If you're not a member of a local church, don't delay. Find the best Bible teaching church you can and join it. Believe me, your loneliness, if you get plugged in rightly, it will go away. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.